Started at the Tour in Northwest London, Wednesday, 21st of Tammuz, 20th of July. Dayan Elimelech Venzetta. Is it fair? A brief overview of our Sogos Gavul in business. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Torah Way attendees, Lila Nishmas, one of our regulars, the late Mr. Norman Greenberg, Rav Nosson Ben Rav Nosson, Zichron Levrotha, who will be very much missed.
Good morning, my dear friends. Good morning. It's lovely to be back. It's been a while. I can't remember. I think it's been over 6 months. I don't think it's been a full year, but it has been a while. Josh, come on. Well, boys, so we're going to try something very daring over here. This is a very complicated sugya. The sugya of a saga's ball is very complicated and very often misunderstood. I get many questions about Asagas Gvul, and normally the question hints at what the expected tshuva should be, which is often the case in many shailas. But I think there is a massive nafka mina when we're asking a shaila about a milky spoon that was mistakenly used to stir your cholent, in which maybe the financial loss is, however much a semi-disposable spoon will cost. And Asagas Gvul, when we're talking about people's parnas and people's livelihood, and therefore the expectations are different, the understanding is different, and the negiyos are very different. The negiyos are very, very different. Now, to summarize this very complex sugya in half an hour is a very daring task, and I hope that I will be able to do justice to try and convey to you what my understanding of the sugya is. Another very important disclaimer is that in real life cases, when these cases come to Beis Din, and the case is presented to the Dayanim, there is no bim and damim milsa le milsa. You can't say that if in this case that was the psak, therefore that will be the psak in every single case that is similar to this. Because similar does not mean identical, and there aren't two cases that are completely identical. And therefore, something that is different between one case and the other may yield a completely different psak. So this is very important. It is very important that we remember that we are not being oisik in psak alocha. I will share with you a specific shaila that I was asked in the past, but we're not necessarily being oisik in psak alocha, so don't take it as the definitive psak alocha, but we are being oisik in Talmud Torah and the amount of time that was given to us so that we can understand what's flying over here. Now, I'll share with you a shaila that was asked. And this shaila could be, you know, the permutations of the shaila could be about any other profession or any other schoira being sold. That is the beginning of the shaila. The nuances of the shaila are what will make it completely different from any other shaila. Well, the shaila was asked from outside of town, not from here. It was about someone who, for the past 7 years, has been selling wine to Bochurim in yeshiva before Purim. He had a representative working at that specific yeshiva, selling wine to Bochurim. Understandably, we're talking about Bochurim who are over the legal age of drinking alcohol, not the other way around. And that is a very important disclaimer as well. But he had a representative, and this man, for 7 years, he was the only person selling wine in that yeshiva. Now, it's very interesting to note that he himself is not a wine merchant in the sense of having a wine shop open to the public, doors open to the public, and everyone comes in and out and buys wine or spirits or whatever alcoholic beverages a wine shop, an off-license, might be selling. That is not his line of business. on the side, he has connections and he can get it, and therefore, as a side business, this is something he did. If you want to buy boxes of wine directly from him, he's able to supply. But he had a representative selling wine in that specific yeshiva for 7 years. Lo and behold, the local wine merchant, the one who does have a wine shop, made a deal with one of the bachurim in yeshiva, another bachur, and says, I want to sell wine in the yeshiva as well. Before Purim, I want to sell wine. So the question was brought to me, is this a problem of asagas gvul? Is this a problem of asagas gvul? The new wine merchant, he's the official wine merchant, probably in that community, when it comes to selling wine to the public. But for the past 7 years, he hadn't had a representative selling his schoira in that specific yeshiva. This year, he decides that he's going to do it. Is that a problem of asagas gvul? Now, it is the basis of this discussion starts with the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. And in Chof Aleph Amud Beis, we're going to see that Rav Huna brings an opinion, and then there is Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, who brings a different opinion. So we have two opinions, one is Aliba de Rabbon, and so on and so forth, but we have two opinions, one given by Rav Huna, and the other by Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua. And they are discussing whether people may prevent, and a professional may prevent another professional from the same profession, or a shopkeeper selling the same schoira from setting up shop or setting up business in their turf. That is the nature of the discussion over there. Now, the conclusion of the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, Breder, Rabbi Yeshua, is that business competition is mutter. That is what the Gemara says there. Business competition is mutter. Toisweis, Bedibur Amaschil Pshita, analyzes this sugya. It's a very short Toisweis at the bottom of the page, and Toisweis says that opinion fits with the majority of Tanoim. Therefore, Toisweis is hinting that is what he considers to be Aloche Lemaise, namely that business competition is permitted.
When is the Masigul?
Oh, very good. And that becomes Aloche Lemaise in Shulchan Aruch Hashem Mishpat, Siman Kuf Nun Vav, Seif Hey. Let's take a look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. It is a very long and slightly convoluted Shulchan Aruch. We're going to try and be masvir it as best as we possibly can. So it's quite interesting. What is the name of this chapter? What is the name of Simon Kuf Nun Vav in Choshe Mishpat? Din mi sheyara leumanosoi shel chaveiro umi shemevis choiro leir acheres. Someone who is, you're going down into your friend's ground, into your friend's turf, you're setting up shop on your friend's turf, and you are bringing schoira from a different city. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I'll leave you with a question, and we'll try and answer and analyze the answer slightly later. When we say a different city, Goldsgren and Hendon are one thing. Stamford Hill, Goldsgren and Hendon. Both are in London, but are they two things? Edgware, Goldsgren and Hendon. Does Edgware have the dinner of a different city, a different town? What exactly are we talking about over here? Let's park that question for a second and take a look at what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. Shulchan Aruch says the following. Shulchan Aruch in Seif Hei, as I mentioned, Choshe Mishpat Kuf Nun Vav, Shulchan Aruch says the following. Koifim b'nei mavoi ze es ze, sheloi loishi b'neim loi chayat, veloi bursi, veloi echod mi ba'li umonuis. So we have, according to this, we have the Bnei Amavoi, people who live in the same cul-de-sac, and it is very important. We're going to see exactly why the cul-de-sac is used as an example and what it implies. It says over here that people who live in the same cul-de-sac may prevent each other from setting up shop. Ayasham b'mavoy echod mibnei mavoy uman veloi michui boi oy sheis hasham merchatz oy chanus. If there was someone in that mavoy, in that cul-de-sac, who was a professional, and then someone else wants to come and no one objects, or maybe there is a sauna there. There's a sauna, or there is a shop, or there is a mill. And then there is someone else comes and he sets up shop. For the example giving over here is a sauna, for example, and he sets one directly opposite the other. You can't prevent the person from setting up shop in the same cul-de-sac as you and tell the person, you are taking away my parnasa. That is quite interesting. Shulchan Aruch is saying over here, but this Shulchan Aruch is in line with the opinion of Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua and the Gemara, Maseches Baba Kama, of Chof Aleph Amud Beis, as you will remember. The Gemara there says that business competition is mutter, and the Shulchan Aruch is codifying the halacha, saying that business competition is mutter to the extent that if someone comes and sets up shop, you can't prevent the person from setting up shop. But listen to this. If we're medayek in the words of the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Merchatz Acheres Kenegdoi. What's Kenegdoi? Opposite you. Opposite to you, next to you. Because there is an interesting situation in the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to talk, and the Aloch is going to talk, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains this in a very clear manner. There are different types of cul-de-sac. You have a completely enclosed cul-de-sac as we know it here. You have only one entrance, and the same entrance is the exit, and there is no other way. You can't go anywhere. That is called a mavoy she'eino mefulash. It's not a thoroughfare. So there is a difference between a thoroughfare and literally a closed cul-de-sac that you go in and out through the same place. Why? Because let's say, for example, someone has a shop at the top of the cul-de-sac. And I set up a shop exactly, selling exactly the same schoira, a greengrocer, whatever it is, at the entrance of the cul-de-sac. What am I doing over here? By offering the same products at the very entrance to the cul-de-sac, what I'm basically doing is I am taking people away, I'm enticing people away from exploring the cul-de-sac, from seeing what is there on offer. And therefore, the person who was setting up shop at the beginning, at the entrance of the cul-de-sac, is adversely affecting, taking business away from the person who is at the top of the cul-de-sac. Conversely, if I were to set up shop next door to the already existing shopkeeper, would that be a problem of unfair competition or not? That will be business competition, but will not necessarily be unfair business competition. So there is a nafkamina over here. There is a nafkamina aloche lemaisa. What is the nafkamina aloche lemaisa? That we can see from these sources. We can see from these sources that business competition is mutter. As long as it is business competition. That is the law of the market. Unfair business competition, and we need to quantify and try and understand exactly what is considered unfair business competition, but unfair business competition would be osur. And what are the mekoiros for that? The concept of unfair business competition is clearly dealt with by the Av Yosef, cited by the Morche, and the Gemara in Baba Kama, Baba Basra, beg your pardon, the Gemara in Baba Basra, Siman Tafkuf Tes Zayin, and the Gemara is Maimonides in Ilchos Shechenim, Perek Vov Aloche Ches. And that is brought down, all of that. If you take a look at the same Shulchan Aruch I mentioned in Kuf Nun Vov, and you take a look at the Bishchei Tshuva in Sifkot and Gimel, it is a beautiful, long, but completely explanatory Bishchei Tshuva that will bring you absolutely every single one of the opinions and every single one of the shittos. And if you go over and over and over it, and you do your chazori, and you understand it properly, you will be able to be teifus the sugya of being masig vul chaver. And therefore, the Aviasaf quotes exactly what I mentioned, that if the business is opened at the entrance of the cul-de-sac, that would ruin the business owner at the top or at the end of the cul-de-sac. And therefore, in practical terms, this means that there is a difference, a halachic difference, between healthy business competition, which is in the best interest of the public itself, and driving out the competition. There's a difference, and they are different things. I must say that not everyone is in agreement with the opinion of the Aviasaf brought by the Mordechai. Not everyone is in agreement with him, but it is a very important opinion. The Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Gimel, Siman Pei Gimel, clearly paskens, unequivocally paskens, and I don't know if you know, probably the Rashba is the one who wrote the most tshuvos in the Zman of the Rishonim. No one has written more tshuvos than the Rashba. It is thousands upon thousands of tshuvos. It is absolutely mind-blowing, the breadth of the tshuvos that he wrote. Thousands of tshuvos. So over here, he clearly writes that although one may open a rival business, the new business may not actively go after people who are known to be regular customers of an already existing business owner. So let me give you an example. If we go back to the question I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, the wine merchant who now wants to sell wine in that specific yeshiva. Let's say, for example, he's given a list of the Bochurim who bought wine last year. And he knows they are still there, they're still learning in the same yeshiva. Is he entitled? Is it mutter for him to take a look at the list, fill them up, and say, listen, whatever price you get, I'll give you a 10% discount? That would be unfair business competition. Why? Because the intention over here is to drive out the competition and end up having a monopoly on the market, and therefore that would be osur. And that becomes halacha lemaisa according to the opinion of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Samach Aleph and Siman Kuf Yud Ches, which is also mentioned in the Bishchei Tshuva that I mentioned to you over here, Sifkot and Gimel, the Chasam Sofer is matir new businesses only when the adverse impact is limited to decreasing mutter, eliminating competition, osur. Decreasing the person's panosur, that's the nature of business. It's the nature of business. You can't. Sometimes you're making more money, sometimes you're making less money. It is all mina shamayim. That is nigzer berosh Hashanah. But if someone maliciously sets up shop and is really intent on driving you out of business and taking away your panosur, that is osur. And the Chasam Sofer bases his psak on the Aviasaf that I mentioned, and on Rashi, on the daf of the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra, daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Chavos Yair in Tshuva Mem Beis disagrees with the Chasam Sofer, and he's matir full out business competition, all knives out. So we see that there is, it's not unanimous, the opinion of Chasam Sofer over here, we have someone who is choylik and says, not a problem at all, you can do it, even if by doing it, By setting up shop, you will be driving out your competition. So see how much looks the poiskim over here.
Would it be the same thing if it said on the net?
Oh, that is the someone who's selling online. Yeah, someone who's selling online. Someone who's selling from now.
Fool them, because they have to go to Yiddish clients. You don't care about the not Yiddish clients.
Yeah. If you're selling it online, what exactly is it? Same city? Is it a different city? What exactly? Selling all over the world. I think it makes. I think it makes matters more complicated. I think, again, that is a parenthesis. Not. Let's not take it or make it part of the share. But Leonius Daiti. If your local shop is selling sforim, and the price difference is not significant, even if it is more expensive, let's say it is 5% more expensive, it is 10% more expensive, I think there is a moral duty to still buy it from the local shop. If the online sale is half of the other price, there is no reason why you should squander away your money. But I think there is a moral requirement to support your local businesses. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Lamed Ches, deals with a fascinating shaila. And the shaila is as follows. Now, we say that there is no Asagas Gvul when it comes to Torah, to teaching Torah. There is no Asagas Gvul when it comes to teaching Torah. But Rav Moshe deals with a question where it's probably the only time it happened in Jewish history that there was a breakaway minion. Probably that was the only time it ever happened. There was a breakaway minion. It's a fascinating tshuva. You read the tshuva, you see, is this really happening? Why? Because Ramush's brilliance is absolutely in every single one of his words. But the shaila is as follows. There was a rabbi, Chassidish Rebbe in Brooklyn, who bought a base medrash, and 3 years down the line, the mispalim, the majority of the mispalim were not happy in his base medrash. Why? Because he was a Chassidish Rebbe, he came in with a different pronunciation, with a different nusach, and he was apparently he loved to give musar, and people were not willing to be mekabel. So what did they do? They set up a different base medrash. And he came to the Rebbe Moshe with a tviya. What's the tviya? They are hurting my parnosa. They didn't say they're hurting my parnosa. Why? Because the Beis Medrash is my geschäft, is my business. I bought the Beis Medrash. Listen to this, fascinating. He says, now I can't do anything with the Beis Medrash. It is worthless. I can't even sell it to a developer. Can you imagine real estate in New York and you can't sell it to a developer? It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Why? Because you can't turn it into residential without spending. So it is absolutely worthless. Rav Moshe comes out on the side of the Rav, or the Rebbe. Why? Because the people who set up the second base medrash didn't do it for their own parnosa. So they were being mazik. The parnosa, they were hurting the parnosa of the Rebbe without making any money. So this is not business competition. It says Rav Moshe is not happy with it. And Rav Moshe Paskins in his psak, in Igros Moshe, I have it over here. For the sake of brevity, I'm not going to read inside.
What's the comparison? Shul's primary...
Oh, very good. Since this one was a private business, the Rebbe bought the shul and it was his business. That's where he got his parnosa from. He provided a service to the community. But it was his main source of income, and he had taken on a debt and a mortgage to buy the property. Therefore, he was left with his choiv and not necessarily seeing the payers of it.
I agree with you.
So, let's read, you know, this interesting paragraph over here from the Igros Moshe. It says the following. And it seems, according to my opinion, It says, no one. So listen to this. Rav Moshe is saying the following. You want to set up a different Beis Medrash? Not a problem. But if you do it in the vicinity of the already existing Beis Medrash, to the extent that you will drive that person out of business, quote unquote, that you can't do. You want to do it at a distance? Isn't it? Are you doing it immediately next door? It is, Rav Moshe says that this is comparable to, Lemaisa, what he's saying is that this is comparable to the person who's setting up shop at the entrance to the cul-de-sac, and therefore is drying out business for the person at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Can't they turn a kimli like the Chavasir?
But Rav Moshe doesn't pass in like the Chavasir. Rav Moshe passes like Chasam Sofer.
The members can say that.
But they brought it to the God of Ador for a psak, and he says, this is the way I'm paskening. He says, So Rav Moshe is passing according. So what is Rav Moshe saying over here? Once again, this is interesting because basically what Rav Moshe is telling us over here is that he holds of unfair business competition. And Rav Moshe says something else. Rav Moshe says that it is not only a matter of destroying the person's parnosa, because destroying a person's parnosa means completely taking away the person's parnosa, but rather hurting the person's parnosa to the extent the person can't continue to live with the same standard of living as it is expected in Mekubal in that specific place. Rav Ezra Basri, in Tshuva Shari Ezra, Chelek Beis, Tshuva Kuf Lamed Aleph, Rav Ezra Basri is one of the greatest living experts. He needs a Refor Shalema, he needs a Rachman Shemaim, he's a Yerushalmi, Sfarde Sheid, tremendous Talmud Chochem. He's one of the foremost experts in Choshe Mishpat in the world. And he passes with the opinion of the Rashba that when one may not lure away, you can't entice away the original regular customers of the first businessman. But there are five distinct categories that are commonly agreed upon. One is better prices or better products. If what you're offering are better products, or if you're offering something for a better price, not as a loss leader with the intention of driving out the competition, but within fair business practices, knowing that you will have to answer, that we will have to answer the question, Asata v'natata be'emuna, and you are working in that manner, but you're offering better products or for a better price. The Aruch HaShulchan, in the same Simon Kuf Nun Vav, Seif Yud Aleph, paskens that different merchandise, irrespective of the price or the quality, will also be included in that psak. This is not contingent upon the issur of asagas gvul. So you might be able to set up shop, offer your services, if your services are better, if your products are better, or if they are better priced. And in the case of the wine merchant, for example, if now all of a sudden he wants to sell whiskey to the Yeshiva Bocharim, whereas the other man was only selling wine, whiskey and wine are two different, even if the headache will be the same at the end of Purim, but they are two different kinds of products, and therefore there wouldn't be a problem. Chasam Sofer in Choshe Mishpat Simon Ein Tes says that Tuvei Yair communal leaders may define necessary monopolies. So if the Tuvei Yair decide that they can only have one single sofer in town, and that was the decision of the Tuvei Yair, you can't have a second sefer. Why? Because it's a necessary monopoly. Now, the same Gemara in Baba Basra, as I mentioned, Baba Basra Chof Aleph Amud Beis, going into Chof Beis Amud Aleph, says that there is no Asagas Gvul when it comes to teaching Torah. And that is limited to teaching Torah, but not providing tefillos and other such communal services. Creating business districts. As you know, in New York, you have the garment district. Over here, you have Hatton Court. That is a business district. You want diamonds, everyone goes there. Yeah. So by increasing the number of specialized shops in an area, everyone will benefit, as that will become the go-to place for specific products. Now, touching, as I mentioned to you at the beginning, when you asked the question, morally, I think one should support your local existing business. But the poskim can say that online sales are not limited to specific communities or geographical locations. So, Limaisa, what I said to this person when they asked me the question, I said, I think, my opinion was that the wine merchant could not start selling the very same products in that yeshiva to anyone who had been a regular customer of the existing wine seller in the past. How do you define a regular customer? Is it someone who bought from you once, who bought from you twice, three times? Now, in yeshiva, this is very problematic. Why? Because the person had been selling for 7 years, and there is a turnover of bochurim. So bochurim are not going to stay there for 7 years. The people who are buying from you now are not the same as the ones, hopefully, not the same as the one who bought from you 7 years ago. So this is a different crowd. So let's say you have a new influx. You have Shiur Aleph. Anyone who's coming in Shiur Aleph is up for grabs. The person is not a pre-existing customer of anyone. And therefore, the wine merchant would be able to approach everyone in Shiur Aleph. Not a problem at all. Shiur Beis, Shiur Gimel, someone who bought from this already existing wine seller in the past, 2 years, 3 years ago, I bought from you, shouldn't be touched. Why? Because that will be, as the Rashba says, that will be luring away customers from an existing business. Raboisai, I will be happy to answer any questions you have offline. I do not want to be goizel zman, as I normally say at the end of the shiur. Time, half an hour is never enough. But Asagas Gvul to the Koilel, and I wish you brachah v'hatzlacha, and may we preserve it for sharing many more degrees. Thank you.
Trust you on your job. It's Christmas to stop.